Next. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin. I'll be taking you guys through the latest in the world of mixed martial arts. You can follow me on Twitter at MMAdamMartin. This podcast is available, as always, at MAOddsBreaker.com and on our YouTube channel. Like, share, subscribe, tell your friends about it. Also, check me out at BJPenn.com and MARace.net. So, got a lot to talk about today, obviously. There was three cards on the weekend, one UFC card, two Bellator cards to get to, a bunch of fight announcements. So there was quite a bit to talk about. I'm going to get right into it right now. Let's start with UFC Copenhagen. Wow, crazy card. I think a lot of people struggled with picking the fights on this card. There was a lot of upsets, the fights that I didn't see playing out the way they did. Somehow, I think I went 6-5-1. There was a draw again. I think that's three straight events with a draw, or three of the last four have had a draw, which is crazy because we didn't have any draws until then. Now we've had three of the last four end in a draw. Just really crazy. Actually, the fight was not a draw. I'm checking right now. Jiga Kikagazi apparently won that fight, so I'm actually 7-4-1. That's better than I thought. Okay, so Jiga Daisy won. I didn't see that. I actually just saw that he had a draw. Okay, so there you go. So close fight, but he gets the win. Anyways, let's get right into it. But yeah, definitely some crazy fights, and I know a lot of people struggled with their picks, with their bets. It happens, though. You know, like, there's going to be cards like this where there's just fights that you just don't see playing out the way they did. And that goes for the main event. I did not see the fight playing out the way it did. Jared Cannonier winning by second round knockout over Jack Hermanson. This is such a big win for Jared Cannonier. He's looked amazing at middleweight. He really has. The win over David Branch last November, that was a great performance. And then the Anderson Silva fight, I was at that one in Brazil. It was an injury to TKO, but still he got the win. And now he beats Jack Hermanson. This is the win for me that really shows that this guy's a legitimate contender. He is 35. He's an older guy for sure. But, man, he beats Hermanson by knockout. Hermanson, in my opinion, was like on the up and up, and he looked like he was going to be one of the top guys at 185 pounds. So that's crazy to me. So Hermanson, definitely a very solid fighter. This is a big win for Jared Cannonier. It puts him in the driver's seat, I think, for a title shot at 185. Of course, Paul Costa is probably next. He's probably going to fight the winner of Adesanya and Whitaker, but Cannonier's right after that. So if I had to guess, he'll probably fight the winner of Gastelum and Till, if I had to guess. Or possibly just wait and see what happens with Costa. Who knows if Costa passes his USADA test? Who knows if he actually makes weight, if he's healthy? And if he gets injured, Cannonier's the guy to step in line. So he's in a great spot right now. Good for him. You know, 3-0 now at middleweight. Guy bounced around in his first couple fights in the UFC, at heavyweight and light heavyweight. I honestly did not expect him to be such a great fighter at middleweight. I didn't even know if he could even make the weight. I remember a few years ago, I can't remember who he beat. I think it was the Cutelaba fight, and he beat him, and he's like, I want to move to middleweight. And people were laughing at him, including myself. Well, he's made the move to middleweight pretty great, and he looks awesome. So Cannonier gets a huge win here. They kill a gorilla. He looks amazing. So good for him. And for Hermanson, it's a step back for sure, but he's still one of the top 10 guys in that division, and the win over Jacare is going to keep him at the top for a while. So Hermanson can bounce back with another win in his next fight, maybe fight the loser of Till and Gastelum. That could work. Or even the loser of Adesanya and Whitaker. Someone's going to lose that fight this weekend, and I'll talk about that tomorrow a little bit more with Cole Shelton. We'll break down that card. But someone will lose that fight, so Hermanson could possibly fight the loser of that fight. Who knows what happens there. So Cannonier gets the win. Good for him. All right, co-main event. Mark Madsen beats Danilo Berluardo via first-round TKO. I mean, this was just a blowout, just a really very lopsided fight from the get-go. The matchup was very much in Mark Madsen's favor. It took Berluardo down in his finish with ground pound. Danilo Berluardo, first off, had no business being in a co-main event in the UFC. That's just crazy to me. This guy is just not a great fighter at all. And now he's 0-2 in the UFC with two ground and pound losses. Just not good enough. So he probably gets cut. Maybe they keep him around for one more fight because this is a tough fight against Madsen. But I think they're going to let him go. For Madsen, though, definitely an intriguing guy at lightweight. He is 35. Again, he's an older guy. But he's looked good. He's 9-0 now in MMA since starting his pro career in 2013. And 9-0 with quite a few finishes as well, six finishes. So this guy is definitely a good fighter. Very solid talent, and I'm looking forward to seeing what's next for him. Again, he's an older guy, so time's not on his side, especially at lightweight, but he looked good in this fight, man. And he was trained by Martin Kamen. That's a great coach, obviously, and he's working on his striking. But if he can take guys down and ground pound or submit them, he's going to have the chance to win a lot of fights. So I was very impressed with this performance by him. I think he could have won a performance bonus. He did not get one. Cannonier did get one, so good for Cannonier. But yeah, I think that Madsen could have got a bonus. We'll talk about that a little bit later. There were quite a few finishes though that could have easily caught them as well. Next up, Gilbert Burns beats Gunnar Nelson via unanimous decision, 29-28 across the board. Solid win here for Gilbert Burns. He's looked quite good lately, especially at welterweight. He's actually won 6 of his last 7 fights. The one loss there to Dan Hooker. Overall in the UFC, he's what's his record? It's 10-3. So he's really good. He's been really good in the UFC. He's really turned his career around. I think at the beginning, especially at lightweight, he has struggled to make the weight a couple times, and he lost some fights he should have won. But he's looked really good lately. Back-to-back wins are welterweight now over Gunnar Nelson and Alexei Kachenko. So very, very solid performances here by Gilbert Burns. Guy's a very solid fighter. And he looks good at welterweight. It looks like he's not cutting that much weight. It looks like he's healthy. His striking looks better. His wrestling obviously is good. His ground game is amazing, as we all know. This is a good win over Gunnar Nelson. This puts Gilbert Burns in the top 15. It's a solid win. Apparently, he's considering even moving to middleweight now. So I think he's the slowest roll. I think welterweight's the perfect weight class for him. I really do. The guy looks awesome at 170. So good for Gilbert Burns. He's an older guy too. He's 33, so he's not exactly young. He's not super old by any means, but he's not exactly young either. So this is the perfect time for him to make that change in weight. And I'm curious to see what's next for him, but definitely a top 15 guy, I think, if he stays at 170, if not top 10 guy. I think at this point, probably someone in the top 10 makes sense. Neil Magny is someone he could fight. I think he mentioned that as a potential opponent. So that could make some sense. Everyone calls Neil Magny, you know, it seems. But at this point, maybe he can even shoot a little bit higher and look for someone in the top 10 coming off a win. So we'll see what happens here with Gilbert Burns, but definitely a great performance here. Next up, Jan Kutalaba defeats Khalil Roundtree via first-round TKO. And this was a solid performance by Kutalaba. Just really smashed Roundtree. And Roundtree looked, man, he looked amazing against Eric Anderson's last fight. He's been so hit and miss, though, in the UFC. Like the win over Gokensaki, that was an incredible performance last year. And since then, he's just 1-2 with the knockout loss of Johnny Walker and now Kutalaba win over Anderson. So very hit and miss, Khalil Roundtree. But he's still a solid talent. And the fact he got smashed here by Kutalaba was very impressive. Kutalaba, 25 years old, very young guy for that division. 4-3 now in the UFC with 3 wins by knockout. So solid performance here by Kutalaba. Guy has a lot of KO power. He's a very scary guy at times. So good for him getting the win as an upset here. And speaking about upsets, this is a fight I didn't see play all the way it did. Oh, Vince State Peru defeats Michael Oleksiak via second-round Von Flue choke. He gets a bonus, well-deserved. Another Von Flue choke, or we got to start calling it a Von Peru choke, honestly, because he's got 3 of them now in the UFC. So that's really impressive. You don't see him that often. He has the one over Nikita Krylov. He has one over Marcos Rogério de Lima and over Michael Oleksiak. And Yushin Okami as well. So he has 4 of them. That's incredible. 4 Von Flue chokes. That is absolutely incredible. Again, they got to start calling it the Von Peru choke. This is his choke now. There's no one that does it better than OSP. And OSP, I mean, you know what, and this goes for myself too, a lot of us underrate him, and he's so inconsistent, right? He's so hit and miss. Sometimes he looks amazing, a lot of times he doesn't look very good, but the guy is such a solid gatekeeper. You beat him, you're a top guy. You don't beat him, you're not a top guy. Just that's how it works. So Michael Oleksiak didn't get the job done here. I thought he'd win the fight for sure. I thought Oleksiak was one of those guys that could potentially be one of those contenders for John Jones, like in the vein of Johnny Walker or someone like that. But as we've seen last week with Jim Crute and now Oleksiak, there's levels to this game. And obviously, Oleksiak was not at OSP's level. So he gets the loss here by Von Peruchok. I'm going to start calling him that, Von Peruchok. And for OSP, obviously, he had dropped out of the rankings lately, and for good reason, because he just hadn't been winning fights. This win should get him back in the top 15, and I think really he's going to get him some more respect from not only the matchmakers and the rankers, but I think the fans too, and also the fellow fighters, because I think a lot of people look at OSP now as an easy fight, and he really isn't. If you look at some of his fights recently, like he has some good wins, like in the last couple of years, like Corey Anderson and Tyson Pedro, those are some solid wins, fights that no one thought he'd win, and he won. So Oleksiak, great win here for OSP, and well deserved of a $50,000 bonus. Next up, Nicholas Dalby defeats Alex Cowboy Oliveira via unanimous decision, 29-28 across the board. Close fight. There was a really weird stand-up in the third round here that I think could have affected the scoring and just the fight itself. Dalby took advantage of that. Good for him, though. I did pick Dalby here as an underdog, so that was a pretty good pick on my part. I mean, I didn't do great on my picks. I don't think anyone did, but Dalby looked really good. He's, again, another older guy, 34 years old, so he's not young, but this was a solid win for him. His comeback to the UFC. I talked about this at length last week, but man, he got a rough shake the first time he was in the UFC. He beats Zaleski dos Santos, who's a very, very good fighter, has a draw with Darren Till in the fight of the night, then loses to Zach Cummings, Piers of Water. The UFC just gives up on him and cuts him. Obviously, he had signed a 4-5 deal like most UFC fighters do when they first come over, but still, they should have given him a better chance. But since then, he had the loss to Carl Pedersola Jr. in his Cage Warriors return, and then since then, he's 4-0 and won no contest. So very solid performances lately by Nicholas Dalby. Gets the win in Denmark. Good for him. And for Cowboy Oliveira, I mean, this is a very disappointing loss now. 3 straight losses. So he was like a guy that could potentially be a dark horse at 170. He had the wins over Carlos Condit and Pedersola Jr. by stoppage. He beat Ryan LaFleur by knockout, Tim Means, Will Brooks. Like, he had some great wins. I still think he's a solid fighter, but at this point, he's looking more like a gatekeeper rather than a true contender. So this is a good win for Nicholas Dalby. It might push him into the top 15 or at least close to it. I don't know if Oliver was ranked at this point, but definitely a solid win for Nicholas Dalby here. All right, let's get to the prelims. How about this one? John Phillips defeats Alan Amadowski via first round knockout just 17 seconds in. Very, very impressive by John Phillips. I mean, this guy, he does have power. We all knew that. Just the rest of his game is not very well rounded. But for this fight, he didn't need that. He just needed to knock this guy out, and that's what he did. 17 seconds. All he needed, win the bonus. I think the bonus is okay. I don't mind giving it to him. I mean, Amadovsky's not a great fighter by any means, but the fact he did it in 17 seconds is very impressive. So he had the 3 losses in his first 3 fights to Charles Berg, Kevin Holland, and Jack Marshman, although I think a lot of us thought he beat Jack Marshman. And then he gets the win here over Alan Amadovsky. So he saved his UFC career, no doubt about that. I'm sure they'll re-sign to a new contract after this. Good for him. John Phillips gets the win. And for Amadovsky, 0-2 now, losses to Jotko and Phillips. Probably gets cut, maybe gets another fight. But I don't even know if middleweight is the right weight class for this guy. He seems a little small to me, but we'll see what happens. Next up, another middleweight fight between Makhmed Miradov and Alexio De Chirico. Miradov wins unanimous decision. Very solid performance by this guy. He seems like an interesting fighter for sure. He's got a nice long win streak here. He is part of the money team stable, so that's kind of interesting as well. I was very impressed by his performance here over De Chirico, who's a pretty solid fighter. So De Chirico now, he's just 3-4 in the UFC. I mean, he hasn't really panned out the way I think we thought he would, but he has shown at times that he's a pretty impressive talent. So for Miradov to come here on short notice in his UFC debut and beat him, it's a pretty good win for him. So good for Miradov. Next up, Ismail Nardiev defeats Ciar Bahadurzadeh of unanimous decision. And this was a very lopsided fight, 30-26, 30-25, 30-25. So very lopsided in Nardiev's favor. This kid's only 22. He's very young. He's been fighting since 2012. So since he was 16 years old, even younger. That's incredible to me, but man, he's a very talented guy. Looked pretty good in the UFC so far. He had that big win over Michel Prezeris. He lost to Chance Rencounter his last fight. That's the fight I think a lot of us thought he'd win. That was a big upset. But I think Chance Rencounter just actually might be a little underrated. So Ismail Nardiev gets back on the winning train here. Good for him. Bahadurzadeh, man, 35 now, a little bit older, and very inconsistent. 2 straight losses now overall in the UFC. He's 4-4, so never really panned out. I remember his UFC debut, knocked out Paul Thiago. He stood over him. It was a scary knockout. He had a couple other wins, like Brandon Thatch, which was a great win. And even Luan Chagas and Rob Wilkinson, not great fighters, but still knocked them out. But overall, just very inconsistent. And I think this might be it for Ciar Bahadurzadeh. It could be it for his UFC career. Maybe they re-sign him. I doubt it, though. I just don't see it happening. I think that's it for him. But for Nardiev, because of solid name and his record, next up, a fight I mentioned earlier on the show, Jigit Chikadze defeats Brandon Davis via split decision, 29-28, 28-29, 29-28. I actually had to go back and watch the card again, so I somehow missed the fact that it was a split, because I heard it was a draw. It was 29-29. I was like, wow, another draw. So I didn't go back and see that they had corrected the scorecard later on in the broadcast. But either way, yeah, good for Chikadze. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. I apologize. But yeah, I did pick him in this fight. He was an underdog, and I picked him. And for me, it was just a fade on Brandon Davis. This guy is just, he really isn't UFC caliber. 10-8 record now. And overall in the UFC, he's 2-5. So that's just not UFC caliber. I think that's it for Brandon Davis in the UFC. Unfortunately, 2 split decision losses, and it's probably going to be released. So I just can't see them keeping around. The guy's just not UFC caliber fighter. And for Jiga, this is a good fight for him. Good win for him, I should say, over a guy with somewhat of a name in the UFC. But, he's obviously known for his glory kickboxing. But this fight showed, I think, that he's a little bit more well-rounded than I think a lot of us thought he was. Next up, a big upset here. Lena Landsberg defeats Macy Chason via lopsided unanimous decision, 29-27, 29-27, 29-28. I was not one of the people that picked Lena Landsberg in this fight. I knew that she had improved. She looked really good against Tawny Ebinger in her last fight, like really good in that fight, but I didn't expect her to beat Chason. For Chason, this is a really bad loss. First off, the Fortis fighters, they keep winning, and so that kind of snaps their win streak there with this loss. But for Chason in particular, it snaps her undefeated streak. She was looking incredible. She looked like she was on the fast track to the title, finishing her first three opponents in the UFC, and then she gets really just dominated in this fight. So I know a lot of people lost their bets on this. Most people are putting Chason in a parlay, and I can't blame them. I thought she'd easily win this fight. She ends up losing a very lopsided decision. So Chason, back to the drawing board. And, you know, she's 28, so she's in the prime of her career. She's actually, I think, even young, if anything, because she only has six fights now. But clearly has a lot of holes in her game that needs to be fixed. And for Landsberg, huge win for her. Again, she's an older fighter, 37, very old for this division. But she's turned her very solid gatekeeper. You know, 4-3 record now in the UFC women's bantamweight division. She has lost to Cyborg, Ladd, and Kudasawa. But she has wins over Chason, Ebinger, Mazzani, and Pudilova. So some solid wins here for Lena Landsberg. And the Elbow Queen is victorious in this one. Last but not least, Jack Shore defeats Helen Fernandez via third round submission. Good win for Jack Shore here, the Welsh fighter in his UFC debut. And, you know, he did get a bonus in this fight. I personally would have given it to Madsen instead. Yes, Shore did get the finish late in the fight, but I think Madsen, what he did was a little bit more impressive personally. But still, Jack Shore gets the win. So solid performance here by Jack Shore. Overall, pretty solid card. A lot of good finishes here, a lot of upsets. So kind of a crazy card, and I expect the same this weekend at UFC 243. This is going to be a nutty card as well. I'm looking forward to that. Like I said, I'll be breaking the full card down tomorrow with Cole Shelton. Tomorrow's October, so great way to start the month to break down Robert Whittaker versus Israel Adesanya. I'm looking forward to that very much. Going to be great. So tomorrow morning, I think around 11 a.m., I'll be breaking down that card with Cole. So check that out. Now let's get to Bellator here. Two Bellator cards to talk about. I'll start with Bellator 228 because that was the better card of the two, I think, and the more significant card. So, all right, main event of the evening. Deyoung Musasi defeats Lyoto Machida via split decision, 29-28, 28-29, 29-28. I thought Musasi won. Actually, sorry, it was 30-27 on the other scorecard. So I thought Musasi easily won this fight. I thought probably 29-20, if not 30-27. I wasn't completely shocked when Machida got a scorecard just because you never know with these judges these days. And it wasn't like it was like super in Musasi's favor. I think if you're a good judge or you're watching the fight close, you knew he'd win the fight. But if you're a judge that can be swayed by a few punches or kicks or something, I can see why Machida got one of the scorecards. But as you saw with Musasi's reaction, he wasn't too happy with that. But either way, Musasi gets the win here, and that's a big win for him over Machida in the rematch. It seems like they squashed their beef back in the day. They fought 5 years ago, I should say, and I remember Machida was accused of greasing. Now Musasi seems to be his friend again, so that's good. Musasi calls out the champion there in that division, Rafael Lavara Jr. That makes sense. He lost a very close decision to him earlier this year by majority decision, very, very close fight. But I also think that moving up to light heavyweight and fighting Ryan Bader, that could make some sense in my opinion. That division's pretty much wide open. The light heavyweight division is very, very shallow. And this goes for Machida too. I mean, if Machida, after this loss, wants to move to light heavyweight, I think he goes there and gets one win. He could easily rematch Ryan Bader. So I think that's a division that they could potentially move to, but it seems like Musasi, he really wants that rematch with Lavar Jr., he wants that belt back. I can't blame him. And obviously, after beating Machida, he deserves a title shot. So I fully expect Musasi to fight Lavar Jr. In his next fight, probably in the new year, maybe in that LA card in January. That could make sense as the co-main event to the Cyborg Bud fight, which I'll talk a little bit about later in the show. But yeah, I think that Musasi could potentially move to 205. But for Machida, that makes a lot of sense, actually. He's 41 now, so he's obviously an older fighter as well. I've said that a lot in the show, but this, you know, he's an older fighter. And I think with the win over Ryan Bader back in the UFC at the UFC show in 2012, and I think it was in LA, actually, I knocked him out with a nice clean punch, counter punch, as Bader walked in. I think that he could possibly challenge him again. So I think Machida moving back to light heavyweight makes a lot of sense. That's what I would do if I was him, but we'll see what he says and see what his team says. All right, let's get to the Bellator featherweight tournament, and I'll talk about the fights and then the bracket. All right, Patricio Pitbull defeats Juan Archuleta. defends his title. It was a very lopsided fight. Great performance by Pitbull. I mean, this guy, I said this on my Twitter after the fight, I think he might be the most underrated fighter in MMA. People just do not give him the credit he deserves. 30-4 record now. He's a two-division champ in Bellator. All he does is win. He's just an incredible fighter. He really is. He's a winning fighter. He beats everyone for the most part. He's incredible. So great wrestling, great striking, grounded pound, submissions. He's just incredible. Cardio, everything. I just think Patricio Pitbull is such an underrated fighter. And a lot of people thought he was going to lose this fight. I didn't think so. I thought he'd win. Archuleta is solid. Don't get me wrong. 23-2. And he actually tried. He tried his best the whole fight. Just wasn't good enough. He just wasn't as talented as Pitbull. He wasn't as fast as Pitbull. He wasn't as strong as Pitbull. Pitbull gets the win. Good for Pitbull. Another title defense. And again, double champion in Bellator. Next up, AJ McKee defeats Georgia Karakhanian via first-round knockout just 8 seconds in. Extraordinary performance here by AJ McKee. And I've said this many times. I think he's, first off, the best prospect in all of MMA right now. I don't even know if you can call him a prospect anymore at this point. He looks like a legitimate contender. 15-0, all 15 of his wins at Bellator. This kid's incredible. Very impressive. And to beat Karakhanian in 8 seconds is incredible. Karakhanian is a very, very good fighter, a very durable fighter. I don't think anyone's ever knocked him out that quickly. I mean, he doesn't get knocked out that often. So amazing performance here by AJ McKee over Georgie. Gets the win. And I think this kid, I think he'll probably meet Pitbull in the finals. If I had to guess, that was my guess from the beginning, to be honest. So I still think he has a good chance to win the whole tournament. I think he is that good. It's certainly hard to pick him against Pitbull. Pitbull is amazing. But I think if anyone's going to beat Pitbull, it's probably McKee. Next up, Darian Caldwell defeats Henry Corrales via decision. Really good performance here by Caldwell. I mean, for what it was, the first two rounds, he pretty much dominated the wrestling. He got the two rounds in the bag. And then third round, he kind of just ran away, which I didn't like. But you know what? It's a tournament, right? So you got to stay healthy. You got to fight smart. He got warned by the referee for timidity, which obviously is not good. But he still did enough to get the win. And for Corrales, a very disappointing loss. Coming off that win over Pico, I thought he'd be a lot more aggressive in this fight. He just didn't do much and loses the decision. So I don't know if the weight cut got him or something, but didn't look good for Caldwell. It looks like 145 actually might be a better weight class for him. And finally, Daniel Weichel defeats Sal Rogers via decision. Daniel Weichel, another really underrated fighter, 40-11 record. Another guy just doesn't get his due in Bellator and MMA in general. Sal Rogers is a solid win. He's a pretty decent fighter. So great win there for Daniel Weichel. Now let's talk about the bracket for the quarterfinals. Man, there's some good fights coming up. Okay, so let me pull my article up here. I wrote about it yesterday at BJ Penn because there was quite a bit that happened. It was a pretty cool way they did it. They did the selection show. So let's talk about this. Okay, so for the first overall pick, AJ McKee got the first pick, and he picked to fight in Hawaii in December. So that made a lot of sense. Then Borix got the second pick. He picked to fight in January in LA. Next up was Weichel. He picked to fight in February. I don't think they've disclosed the location. Scott Coker, I think, is in Mohegan Sun in Connecticut, so that makes sense. And then March, we don't have a date for that, but Caldwell picked March. Next up, Manuel Sanchez, I think it was. Let me double check that. Who was it? Fifth overall pick was... Yeah, Sanchez had the fifth pick, and he went and fought Daniel Weichel. He wants to rematch him, so he's fighting in February. Sixth pick was Campos, and he's surprisingly took AJ McKee. I'm surprised he took him. I thought he would try to for a quote-unquote easier fight. So good for McKee. I mean, good for Campos for calling on McKee, but that's a tough fight for him. Next up, Pedro Carvalho. He had the next pick and the seventh pick, and he chose to fight Caldwell. And I'm sitting there wondering, what happened to Pitbull? Why did Pitbull get a chance to pick? He's the champ. He should get a chance. And then all of a sudden they say Pitbull's coming out, and then Pitbull has the twist, and he's allowed to pick any fight he wants. Fits slot anywhere in the tournament you want. So the slot that was opened was against Adam Borix. But Adam Borix, you talk about sleepers in this tournament, he might be the sleeper. I think this kid is incredible, and I think he's a good chance to win it, to be honest with you. So I can't blame Pitbull at all for fighting Borix. And I was sitting there thinking, who is the easiest fight on the table? You know, because you might as well take the easiest fight. And I'm looking at the talents, and they're all good fighters. They're all talented, but Pedro Carvalho, and sure enough, Pitbull picked Pedro Carvalho. Pedro Carvalho is a solid fighter, but for Pitbull, that should be an easy win. And it's no disrespect for Carvalho. This is more saying about Pitbull and how good he is. So Carvalho gets picked by Pitbull, and I think Pitbull pretty much wins that fight easily, you know, to be completely fair. So makes a lot of sense to me. I know fans were disappointed. They wanted to see him fight Caldwell or McKee, and I know Scott Coker even said he was disappointed, but if you're in a tournament and you have the pick, choice to pick anyone you want, of course you're going to take the easiest fight. So, again, no slam Carvalho. You know, he's not an easy fight in general, but of the eight guys, I think he is. So, smart decision here by the champ. And now Caldwell will fight Borks instead, and that's a brutal fight for Caldwell, I think. I think Borks probably beats Caldwell. So, that's not the greatest move for Darren Caldwell. I know he wanted to fight Pitbull pretty bad, but Pitbull, you know, chose his opponent and he wants to fight Carvalho. So overall, I think the bracket turned out pretty good. I think a lot of us wanted to see Pitbull against Baki, but it doesn't make sense right now. And again, if Pitbull beats Carvalho, then he advances to the finals, and same with Baki, you'll see them in the finals. So I think Pitbull will come out of that side of the bracket and he'll fight either Borks or Baki, if I had to take a guess. But we'll see what happens. I think the bracket looks pretty good. And, you know, again, maybe the matchups aren't 100% what the fans wanted, but I think the format was pretty cool. And it was something different, which I like. I like how Bellator thought outside the box. It was kind of cool. All right. So I think that's it for Bellator 228. There was obviously a few prelims that are worth mentioning here. Like Leandro Higa beats Sean Bunch, and Antonio McKee Sr. defeats William Sriyakai via ground and pound in the second round. But that fight was just, wow, I can't believe that fight even happened. Anyways, overall, a solid card. Definitely some good fights in the featherweight division, and I'm looking forward to the rest of the tournament. I love how Bellator does these tournaments, and Scott Coker, I should mention, said that he wants to do one tournament a year, so I don't know what the next one is, but that's what he mentioned. All right, Bellator 227. Let's talk about this quickly. All right, so there was a lot of mismatches on this card, as we all expected. First, I'll get to the main event. James Gallagher defeats Roman Salazar via first-round submission, guillotine choke. Just took 35 seconds. Yeah, I mean, we all knew he was going to win. So not much to say here. Gallagher, obviously, very, very good talent, 22 years old, young guy. Salazar took the fight on short notice. Good for him. Got his cup of tea in Bellator. But, yeah, Gallagher obviously gets the win, and hopefully he can get a decent name opponent in his next fight. I mean, yeah, he lost to Bandeis, but I think he's looked pretty good since then. Time for a step up. But I have a feeling they might just give him the Michael Page treatment, keep giving him guys that he should be beating. And that includes Michael Page in the next fight. He defeats Richard Kiley via first round flying knee knockout. And, you know, Richard Kiley spent the whole week talking about how he's being disrespected by the media and how he's going to win this fight. And he gets smashed in 2 minutes, 47 seconds. Michael Page, again, much more talented fighter. And, you know, this was a mismatch. It's so funny, though, right? Like, this guy, Michael Page, is so talented and he's so dangerous. Loses one fight, people write him off. The guy's still good. Douglas Lima is just better, you know? So Michael Page is still a good fighter, and I think Michael Page could beat most guys in that division. Next up, Peter Quigley defeats Ryan Scope via second-round knockout. So a crazy comeback. Ryan Scope was winning the fight, and Peter Quigley somehow gets the second win, knocks him out. So good for Quigley, gets the win, really set the fans on fire there. And finally, Benson Henderson defeats Miles Jury via decision. Miles Jury, 3 straight losses now. This guy just hasn't looked good lately, and very disappointing. So Benson Henderson gets the win. Good for Benson. 4-fight win streak now for Benson Henderson. So Pitbull's a champ, obviously, but you know what? Benson Henderson has a win over Pitbull. It was an injury, but he does have a win over the champion. I think if he wins another fight or two, I mean, you have to give him a rematch with Pitbull. But with him fighting in that tournament, I don't even know what belt's going to even be defended. And Scott Coker said they don't want to do an interim title, though it's something they're going to have to talk about, I think, at this point. There's some other prelims there, but nothing really worth mentioning. So that's about it. Bellator 227. A lot of mismatches, that's all I'll say. All right, let's get to some fight announcement here. UFC 245, main event's official. Kamaru Usman's taking on Colby Covington, so I can't wait for this fight. I'll be there, looking forward to it. We knew that fight was going to happen, and now it's official. So UFC 245, 3 title fights. The card's going to be amazing, and I can't wait for it. Also, UFC 245, Sergio Pettis takes on Kai Kara France. Excuse me. Pettis, obviously, has looked really good lately. At flyweight, bantamweight, he struggled at bantamweight, but at flyweight, he's looked good. He has that win over Benavidez just last year, and then he beats Tyson Nam in his last fight, really lopsided fight. Takes on Kai Kara France. Don't blink. I mean, this kid is really talented. He's on an 8-fight win streak now, 3-0 in the UFC. You got to favor Pettis, but I wouldn't write off France just now. You know, I think this guy is pretty good, and I think he could win this fight. Also at UFC 245, Puno Heli Soriano takes on Oscar Pichota. This is obviously a fight that UFC expects, I think, Puno Heli to win. He should win this fight, 6-0 in his career. You know, the fight in the Contender Series against Jamie Pickett, I personally didn't think it was that impressive, but Dana White loved him, and we'll see what happens in this fight. He should win, though. Pichota is really not even, I don't think, a UFC talent caliber guy. He had two wins in his first two fights against Jonathan Wilson and Tim Williams, then gets submitted by Gerald Meerschaert and Rodolfo Vieira. I expect him to get finished by Puna Sonny Ran on this fight. Also, yeah, a couple other fights here. Enrique Barzola takes on Movsar Evloev at UFC Singapore. Evloev is a very talented young prospect here. He is pulling up Sherdog, 11-0, coming off that win over Sung Woo Choi in his debut. Wasn't a great performance, wins the decision, but definitely a solid prospect. Takes on Barzola here. Enrique Barzola is, again, talented guy, but a little inconsistent coming off a win over Bobby Moffitt, 1-5 his last six, but he does have that loss over Kevin Aguilar earlier this year. Overall, though, in the UFC, I mean, he has a nice 6-2 record, so he's been pretty good in the UFC, but this is not an easy fight for him at all. UFC Sao Paulo gets a women's fight between Duda Santana and Tracy Cortez. Duda Santana coming off a really bad loss to Bea Malecki. She got finished in the second round by stoppage. Not a good performance here by her. And then takes on Tracy Cortez. Cortez, a Contender Series alum. She looked pretty good in the show. I think, obviously, with her story, I think she had some deaths in her family. Dana White really took a liking to her 6-1 record. I wasn't too impressed with her performance on the show, but she is on a nice 6-fight win streak, and she does have some experience fighting Combate Americas and also Invictus. So, you know what? She has a good chance in this fight based on what I saw from Duda Santana in her UFC debut. And finally, we have Chris Cyborg taking on Julia Budd. That's at Bellator Los Angeles in January. We don't have the exact date on that, but yes, it'll be in LA. Chris Cyborg against Julia Budd is going to be an amazing fight, as we all know. I can't wait for this matchup, actually. Chris Cyborg coming off that win over Felicia Spencer in her last UFC fight and gets an immediate title shot as she deserves against Julia Budd here. Julia Budd is an incredible fighter as well. 36 years old, so not young, but man, she looks good, and she's just on such a nice win streak now, 11 straight wins, and she's in Bellator. She's 7-0, one of the most underrated female fighters out there for sure. Two losses in her career to Amanda Nunes and Ronda Rousey. She also has a win over Jermaine Durandamy, so she's a very good fighter. And this fight, it's not an easy fight to call. I think Cyborg will be favored, of course. But don't completely count Julia Budd, who also, by the way, has a kickboxing win over Gina Carano. So she has got a lot of experience, and she's got a lot of talent, and I'm excited for that fight. It should be a good one. So I think that's it for today, guys. I can barely talk anymore. My mouth's just dry now. So that was a lot of talking. But, yeah, speaking of talking, I'll be back tomorrow with Cole Sheldon breaking down UFC 243. So I'm looking forward to that. But, yes, that's it for UFC Copenhagen, Bellator 220, and Bellator 221. That's it. So thanks again, guys, for joining me today for the podcast. I really appreciate it. You guys can follow me on Twitter at @MMAdamMartin. This podcast is available, as always, at MMAoddsbreaker.com. Go to our YouTube channel, like, share, subscribe, tell your friends about it. And also check me out at BJPenn.com and MMARings.net. That was a lot to talk about, a lot to get to, but we got through it. So that's awesome. Today's the last day of September, guys. Tomorrow's October. So, yeah, I can't believe that winter's almost here. Christmas is almost here. It's crazy. The year's gone by really quick. I've been doing this podcast since May, June, July, August, September. So 5 months now. So it's crazy. It's gone by really quickly, but I've really enjoyed doing it, guys. I always appreciate you tuning in, listening to me talk about MMA and just give my thoughts on the fight. So again, I'll be back tomorrow with Cole Sheldon at 11 a.m. to break down the UFC 243 card. You can also check me out again at MMAoddsbreaker.com, BJPenn.com, MMARings.net. Once again, guys, thanks for tuning in. I'll be back tomorrow morning. Have a good one, guys. See ya. Bye.